Good morning. Thank you for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's results for the first half of 2016. Today, I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitris Loos, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imellos. Following the presentation by Dimitris and Michalis, we will open the floor to questions. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements on the screen. This information can also be viewed in our press release issued today. Now let me turn the call over to Dimitris.
Thank you, Basrak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. I will start by giving an overview of the half-year period before Michalis takes you through our financial performance. I will then discuss our operational performance and the outlook for the remainder of the year. We are pleased with a strong revenue and margin performance in the first half of the year. The results demonstrate the good progress in the second quarter and underpin our expectations for the full year. Net sales revenue was up 2.4% on an FX-neutral basis. Adjusted for the one less selling day in the period, the improvement in FX-neutral net sales revenue was 3%. While volumes increased only marginally, our focus on the revenue growth management initiatives drove the top line and ensured the delivery of increased profitability. The underlying volume growth, after adjusting for the one less selling day, was 0.7%. This good performance, combined with favorable input costs and further savings in the operating expenses, led to a 60 basis point expansion in our comparable EBIT margin to 7.5%. Finally, we improved comparable EPS by 7% year-on-year and generated 240 million of free cash flow. With that, I will turn the call over to Michalis.
Thank you, Dimitris, and hello, everyone. In line with our practice, as I take you through our financial results for the first half of the year, I will refer to comparable figures which exclude the impact of restructuring costs, the mark-to-market valuation impact of commodity hedges, and specific non-recurring items. As Dimitris mentioned, taking into account the one less selling day, our net sales revenue on an FX-neutral basis grew by 3% in the period. Net sales revenue declined by 3.4% in the period, negatively affected by the significant currency headwinds, particularly in our emerging market segment. Currency-neutral net sales revenue per unit case improved by 2.4% year-on-year. This substantial improvement is mainly attributable to our pricing initiatives aimed to offset the currency headwinds in certain markets, better package and brand mix in all segments, and some improvement in markets where we saw deflationary pressures in 2015. Our volume increased marginally by 0.1% in the half year. Dimitris will provide some more granularity on our volume performance later in the presentation. The input cost environment was favorable in the period, partly offsetting the negative impact of foreign currency. Combined with a significant currency-neutral revenue growth that I referred to earlier, the net result was a 10 basis point expansion in the gross profit margin. The cost reductions achieved through our optimization initiatives, supported by our restructuring actions, led to a 45 basis point reduction in operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. I will come back to this later in my presentation. Comparable operating profit increased in the half year by 4.8% versus the prior year period, and comparable operating profit margin expanded by 60 basis points. Better price and mix, cost efficiencies, and favorable input costs more than offset the adverse currency impact that amounted to 68 million euros in the period. Comparable EPS was 0.42, 7% higher than in the prior year period. We continue to optimize working capital and have driven improvements in both the working capital balance and the working capital days in the period. Once again, we generated strong free cash flow of 240 million euros in the half year, up 20 million compared to the prior year period. Turning to the revenue performance in more detail. FX neutral net sales revenue per case increased by 2.4%, representing an improvement in pricing trends across all segments compared to the prior year period. We are pleased with this improvement, which demonstrates the business's ability to return to growth levels achieved prior to 2015. There were a number of key factors which influenced this outcome. Let me take you through them on a segmental basis. In our established markets, FX neutral revenue per case improved by 0.5%. The improvement was driven predominantly by category and package mix as a result of our OBPC strategies. It is pleasing to see FX neutral revenue per case in our established market segment improving for the third consecutive quarter and now being in growth territory. In developing markets, package and category mix were also positive, although not enough to offset the unfavorable price and channel mix. Nevertheless, it is encouraging to note that this 1.1% deterioration in currency-neutral revenue per case represents the third consecutive quarter of deceleration in revenue per case declines in this segment. The emerging markets saw a 6.8% improvement in currency-neutral revenue per case. This was mainly the result of our pricing actions put in place to mitigate the FX headwinds in countries facing currency depreciation and the associated inflation. Package and category mix were positive too. Turning to input cost. Comparable currency neutral input cost per case declined by 3.8% in the half year, in line with our expectations. The key drivers for the decline were lower resin and sugar prices, driven by lower oil prices and some well-timed pre-buys. Let me add some more color on the phasing of input costs in the year. In the first half, we had a continuing benefit from the favorable input cost environment in late 2015 and the execution of several pre-buys early this year for the first half. However, we do expect that in the second half of the year, our currency neutral input cost per case will increase due to the following factors. First, the impact of the growing world sugar prices on our unhedged exposures in the remainder of the year. Second, the anticipated improved sparkling mix this summer compared to prior year. Third, the cycling of low oil prices in the second half of last year, which will be reflected in our resin prices. Taking all this into account, we continue to anticipate input cost per case on a currency neutral basis to marginally increase in the full year. Turning to our OPEX performance, our initiatives to optimize our operating cost base continue to deliver good results. In the period, we reduced our operating expenses in absolute terms, leading to a 45 basis point reduction in comparable operating expenses as percentage of net sales revenue. Let me walk you through the key drivers. Reductions in warehousing, distribution, and administration costs led to a 75 basis point improvement as a percentage of revenue. We increased direct marketing expenses in order to support our growth aspirations. This contributed to a 30 basis point increase as percentage of revenue. We continue to believe that we can achieve further improvements in comparable operating expenses as percentage of revenue in the remainder of the year while increasing direct marketing spend. Turning to operating performance, we recorded comparable operating profit of 230 million euros in the first half of the year, 11 million higher than in the prior year period. Overall, operating leverage, lower input costs, and cost control more than offset the impact of adverse foreign exchange movements. There are differing dynamics in the segments, so let me provide you with some more color on those key drivers on a segmental basis. In established markets, we benefited from improvements in mix, cost efficiencies, and input costs. These were only partially offset by volume deleverage. Developing markets had a favorable impact from volume leverage and input costs, offset by unfavorable channel and price mix, as well as adverse currency movements, mainly from the Polish zloty. In the emerging markets, higher currency-driven pricing and revenue growth management initiatives, as well as improved volume and favorable input costs, were more than offset by the significant currency headwinds in the period. As far as restructuring is concerned, we incurred restructuring charges of 34 million euros in the period, mostly focused on established and emerging markets. We are accelerating our initiatives by bringing forward certain plans from 2017 into this year. Therefore, we now expect this year's restructuring costs to reach 48 million euros with estimated annualized benefits of 32 million euros from 2017 onwards. The savings in 2016 from initiatives taken in 2015 and those that will be taken in 2016 are expected to reach 23 million euros. Turning now to free cash flow, we generated 240 million euros in the half year, 21 million more than the cash generated in the prior year period. The free cash flow increase was driven by operating profitability growth and working capital improvements, partly offset by capital expenditure. We remain confident in our proven ability to generate solid free cash flow in the short to medium term, despite the macroeconomic and currency volatility. Let me also make a few points of clarification following the recent refinancing of our long-term debt. In March this year, we raised a 600 million euro medium-term bond to refinance the respective November maturity. We have already redeemed 215 million euros of the November maturity. We will use the remaining funds from the March issue to redeem the outstanding 385 million euro in November. The favorable rate of the new bond will reduce our cost of debt from 2017 onwards. In 2016, however, you will not see a material improvement due to the nine-month overlap of the two bonds. So in the first half of the year, total net financing costs amounted to 35 million euros, a 2 million euro reduction compared to prior year. This improvement was driven mainly by lower net foreign exchange losses on remeasurement of certain foreign currency balance sheet items. Before I conclude, let me remind you of what we communicated during our Investor Day in London at the beginning of June, regarding the operating leverage formula and how it manifests itself in our P&L. Applying the operating leverage formula, our 60 basis point EBIT margin expansion in the year can be explained as follows. No material impact from volume leverage due to the only 0.1% volume growth in the half year. 170 basis point expansion from revenue leverage based on the 2.4% growth in currency-neutral net sales revenue per case in the year. 135 basis points contraction from the combined impact of FX and input costs. And finally, 20 basis point expansion from our cost productivity initiatives. As also discussed on our Investor Day, the above dynamic is translated in a marginal increase in our gross profit margin, 10 basis points in the period, and a bigger increase in comparable operating expenses as percentage of revenue, 45 basis points in the period. With that, let me pass the floor to Dimitris for the operational review and outlook for the year.
Thank you, Michali. I will now turn to the operational highlights for the half-year period. Overall, volumes increased marginally in the first half of the year. Excluding the impact of one less selling day, volumes would have grown by 0.7%. Across our segments, we had a mixed result, with developing being the main growth driver, along with emerging,
largely offset by a decline in established. Looking at the volume growth by country, the key drivers were Nigeria, Romania, and Poland. In the established markets, volume declined by 2.8%. Volume declines were experienced across almost all geographies, in particular, Italy and Ireland, partly impacted by poor weather and weak performances in most categories except from energy. Developing market performance was strong, with a 3.5% growth in the first half. We saw a continuation of good volume growth momentum, with most key categories contributing. In the emerging markets, volume grew by 0.5%. Volume performance in the first half was driven by continued growth momentum in Nigeria and a strong performance in Romania and Serbia, partly offset by Russia. Looking at our performance by category, good growth has been supported by our commercial initiatives, including the new OBBPC packs, selective affordability measures, and campaigns such as Taste the Filling and Share a Coke 2 in Nigeria. The biggest contribution to volumes came from the sparkling drinks category. Sparkling beverage volumes increased by 1.1% in the first half, with good performances in Nigeria, Romania, Poland, and Serbia, more than offsetting declines in Russia, Ireland, Italy, and Greece. Within the category, low teens growth in Coke Zero and good performance for flavored sparkling beverages and Schweppes helped drive the result. Juice declined in the period by 5% on tough comparatives. A deceleration in Russia, cycling a 34% growth in the prior year period, was only partly offset by growth in Nigeria, Romania, and the 4% growth in the developing segments. Water was stable in the period. Good performance in the developing markets, with all markets growing except Czech and Slovakia. This was supported by the acquisition of Neptūnas in Lithuania. In emerging markets, good growth in Romania, Nigeria, and Serbia partly compensated for the decline in Russia, largely attributed to the economic condition prevailing in the country. Established markets also registered a decline, mainly driven by the delisting of small water brands in Italy. Energy maintained its strong growth, with volumes up 23%. Nearly every country contributed to the growth, with Russia, Poland, and Italy shipping the best number of cases. RTDT performance remained weak, except in certain markets such as Romania and Ukraine. Turning now to the reporting segments and some of our bigger countries in each segment. Established markets volume declined by 2.8% in the first half. Volume declines were experienced across almost all geographies, and in particular, Italy and Ireland. However, there were good performances from Coke Zero across the board, Coke Life launches in Austria and Italy, and good energy growth across the region. In Italy, performance was partly impacted by weather. Key driver of the decline was sparkling, down by low single digits. Good performance from Coke Zero and Fanta, supported by Coke Life, only partially offset the decline in brand Coca-Cola. Water decline was driven by the delisting of smaller brands. Excluding this impact, water grew by more than 3%. Energy also grew well, capitalizing on the distribution expansion for Monster. Greece was stable in the period, having accelerated its performance in the second quarter. Key drivers of this growth were still drinks, mainly water, and to a lesser extent, juice. tea also grew well. In sparkling, a decline in trademark Coca-Cola was partly offset by 3.3% growth in Coke Zero and strong growth in energy. Macroeconomic and trading environment remains challenging. Switzerland performance was impacted by wet weather, leading to a low single-digit decline in volumes. Growth in energy only partly offset declines across all other categories. Coke Zero and brand Coca-Cola also performed well. Overall, in the established markets, net sales revenue declined by 3.6% in the first half, driven by volume decline, along with adverse currency impact driven mainly by the Swiss franc. We are very pleased to report an improved pricing environment with FX neutral net sales revenue per case up 0.5% in the first half. In our developing markets, volume grew by 3.5% with good performance in most of our countries and categories. Sparkling beverage category was the main growth driver, followed by water, which buoyed by the addition of Neptuna's brand to the portfolio in Lithuania. Poland registered a mid-single-digit volume increase, with most categories performing well. Sparkling beverages grew by mid-single digits, driven by trademark Coke performance, particularly brand Coca-Cola. Fanta also performed well. Water grew by low teens, driving a mid-single-digit increase in still beverages. Juice also grew well. Energy maintained its robust performance, driven by Monster. In the Czech Republic, volume declined in most key categories in the first half. We saw good performance in flavored sparkling beverages and mid-teens growth in juice, while energy also registered double-digit growth. This performance partially compensated for the decline in sparkling and water in an environment of increasing competitive pressure. Hungary saw a good growth across all categories. Sparkling beverage performance was the key driver of growth as a result of the successful implementation of our OBVPC initiatives. Energy category remained on its growth trajectory with growth from both Burn and Monster, reflecting the strength of our dual brand energy strategy. Juice volumes increased by low single digits, helped by the growth of Capi. Our focus on increasing single serve contribution delivered results, with package mix improved by 1.4 percentage points in the first half. Turning now to our emerging market segment, volume grew by 0.5% with strong performances in Nigeria, Romania, and Serbia, along with sparkling and energy growth. In Russia, volume declined by high single digit amidst a challenging backdrop. Discontinuation of a small number of low-value brands accounted for approximately 1% of this decline. Coke Zero maintained its positive momentum with good growth also from Fanta, helping to arrest the decline in sparkling to mid-single digits. Energy also grew well with good performance from both brands, though mainly driven by Monster. Juice posted a low teens decline, driven by poor performance in fragmented trade. Nigeria maintained its positive momentum. This was driven by successful implementation of our initiatives. The introduction of the 600 ml PET, supported by the second wave of the successful Share a Coke campaign, and juice innovation enabled the business to deliver a very good performance across all categories. Nigeria remains a key growth driver for the group. In Romania, volumes accelerated in the second half with good performances across all our categories. This represents the sixth consecutive quarter of volume growth. Sparkling performance was the key driver of growth, with all brands growing well. Energy grew by almost 50%. Water grew by low teens, and Capri Pulpi continue to drive robust results in juice. Package mix continued to improve, driven by good growth in sparkling single-serve packages. Emerging market segments revenue declined by 4.4% in the first half, impacted by the substantial negative impact from currency movements. FX neutral net sales revenue per case grew by 6.8% in the period, in line with our strategy to implement pricing initiatives in territories facing currency headwinds. Looking ahead, we are confident that 2016 will be a year of strong FX neutral revenue growth and progress on margins, based on our expectations for acceleration in FX neutral net sales revenue per case in the remainder of the year, leading to a substantial improvement in the full year. Volume growth overall, with developing and emerging segments growing and established considerably moderating the decline. A marginal headwind from input costs, adverse impact of 115 million from currencies, and a significant reduction in operating expenses as percent of net sales revenue. With that, I will now hand over to the operator, and Michalis and I will take your questions.
Thank you. The first question comes from the line of Sanjeet Ogla from Credit Suisse in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dimitris. Hi, Mihailos. Just a couple of questions from my side, please. Firstly, on Nigeria, have you seen any change in consumer behavior since the devaluation? And secondly, can you just talk a little bit more about your optimism in substantial improvement in FX neutral net sales per case? What's really driving that optimism there? Thanks.
Yes, let me start with FX neutral, and I will refer to the second half of the year. So let me start with the first half, showing a very pleasing improvement for the group. And this was also supported by satisfactory trends across all three segments. So the implementation of our revenue growth management is yielding results. Looking ahead, we expect to further accelerate this performance, and I would like to give you a bit more color. So firstly, more pricing initiatives. We have been consistent in our strategy to take pricing in certain emerging markets, mostly impacted by adverse currency movement. We will continue to implement such actions. Of course, the extent of those actions will depend on the macro developments. Secondly, we have also been seeing the results of the implementation of our OBBPC initiatives in several of our established and developing markets. And we have also taken some selective pricing in some of our markets. Our OBBPC initiatives includes improving our pack mix, increasing our transactions ahead of volume through single-serve expansion, and capitalizing on three key elements. First of all, the glass bottle expansion that we have been referring to. Second, it's the Taste the Feeling campaign, and we have very strong marketing calendar for Q3. And finally, it's the Rio Olympic Games, and such events provide a very favorable setting for successful implementation, especially on the single serves, while always building brand equity. Now, going back to Nigeria, what we have seen is in the second quarter, we have seen, I would call it, some side effects from the pre-devaluation. And let me give you a few examples. We have seen shortages in gas and fuel. Obviously, this having an effect in our operation, and that's why Q2, we have seen a deceleration in the growth. Now, as we move and as this devaluation is kind of normalized, these side effects are smoothing. So as we move along, we reiterate our optimism, and it's exactly what we said both in February and in May with regards to the overall volume for the year. And you recall we started with mid-single digits, and now we are reiterating mid to high single digits.
Got it. Thanks.
We have a question now from Kate Kalashnikova from Citigroup in London. Please go ahead.
Hello. I've got two questions. My first question is on Nigeria. Given a very sharp Nigerian naira devaluation, is there a risk that the Coca-Cola company may want to increase incidence level in the country? Because, of course, your concentrate is priced as a percentage of local currency sales.
We don't see that as a potentiality, to be honest, no.
Okay, great. My second question is on input costs. Currency neutral input costs per case declined about 4% in the first half of the year. And your full year guidance is for marginal increase in input costs. This to me suggests that you expect close to mid single digit increase in input costs per case in the second half of this year. Can you confirm it? And then how should we think about input cost environment for the next year in light of this?
Okay, Kate, let me take this one. So indeed, in the first half, we saw a decline of 3.8%, and we explained during the call some of the drivers for that. In the second half, things will change on a number of fronts. First of all, we already see increased world sugar prices having an impact on our open exposures, primarily in Nigeria and to a lesser extent Ukraine and Belarus. We expect to see improvement in the sparkling mix in the second half, primarily in quarter three, because last year, as you recall, we had a very hot summer and the volumes of water were abnormally high in the mix. And thirdly, we are cycling low oil prices in the second half of last year, and that obviously will be reflected in the resin prices in the second half. So overall, yes, we see that there will definitely be an increase in the second half. And the important thing is that on a full year basis, we see a marginal increase on the currency neutral input cost per case.
Great.
And about 17, I would say that it is very early to call now what the development will be versus 2016. We are in a good place with regard to our EU sugar because we are already 100% contracted in for EU sugar. Russia also, we are 100% covered. And we have some good coverage on aluminium. Resin, of course, is not hedged. So although we are in a good position right now, it's a little bit early to call it. We will come back in February with a detailed guidance.
Thank you so much.
We have a question now from Nicole McHugh from Goldman Sachs in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just had a question on the reinvestment of your savings. You mentioned that you will be reinvesting some of them in H2, and I was wondering if you will also be reinvesting some of the incremental savings you have announced today for F17 as well. Thank you.
In the first half, you are referring to marketing. Is my understanding correct?
Marketing, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the marketing.
Okay. So in the first half, the group registered an increase in marketing investment compared to prior year of 8%. Overall, for the year, marketing investment is expected to increase And this increase will mainly be driven by emerging. Now, looking at established and developing, overall, we remain broadly at the same level. There are pockets within established and developing that we will be investing more, but broadly it's at the same level. And here we are cycling a very strong growth of our investments in the prior year. We plan to invest in marketing to capitalize further on Taste the Feeling campaign, and Q3 is a key quarter where we have a very strong marketing calendar. We are also focusing behind targeted promotional activities, and that's mainly in the organized trade. And lastly, I referred a bit earlier, it's the overall Olympic Games in Rio, and events like that help us towards two directions. One, which is a medium term, and that's building equity. And the second is more shorter term, and that's single serves. So those are the three, four pillars of where we will be investing. And Q3 has a very, very strong marketing calendar.
And we have a question now from Richard Felton from Morgan Stanley in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two from me, if that's okay. Firstly, please can you give us an update on the rollout on the energy portfolio? When do you expect to hit the shelf in Nigeria, and are there other markets that you're going to roll out to in H2? And then secondly, on the additional restructuring initiatives, can you give us a bit more color on where the additional 7 million of savings by FY17 are going to come from, please? Thank you.
I'll take your first question. As we speak, we have, from the larger markets, we have already launched in Russia, Romania, Italy. Nigeria is towards the second part of Q4, and our target is to be with Monster in most of our markets within the year, probably, and it might be, you know, 1 or 2 months in 17th, but our target is mostly to cover all of our countries within this year. And I'll turn now to Michalis for your second question.
Yeah. So the acceleration in the restructuring cost is happening primarily in emerging markets, and that, I would say, the key focus there is Russia and to some extent Nigeria. We have brought forward some of our 2017 high-level plans into 2016, so the savings, the extra 7 million that you talked about, will be primarily in emerging and focused mainly in Russia and to some extent in Nigeria.
Thank you, it's very clear.
I have a question now from Stephanie Duff from Bank of America in London. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. First of all, can I please ask your Naira hedge how you expect it to impact next year, as we haven't seen a big impact for this year's guidance in terms of FX headwind on EBIT. My second question concerns pricing. Could you please let us know about how much increased prices in Russia, and if you have changed prices at all in Nigeria, and maybe what the net revenue revenue per case constant FX in excluding Nigeria and Russia would have been in the region. And then finally, in established markets, you surprised on the upside in terms of earnings, or EBIT, sorry. Could you please let us know if that was really driven by input costs more than by cost savings? Thank you.
Let me start with your pricing questions, and then Michalis will cover the rest. So starting with Russia, we have taken a high single-digit price increase in mid-Q1, and we have also taken a mid-single-digit increase at the end of Q2. Now, we have been referring to markets like Russia with our pricing initiatives, which are contingent to the overall external environment. So we are very closely monitoring the external environment for the remaining of the year. Now, moving to Nigeria, the answer is yes. We have been taking pricing, and we have been taking pricing before the official devaluation. We have been reiterating that Nigeria is a market where affordability is a key element. So there is an excellent balance from the team, taking into consideration the devaluation and affordability. And yes, we do plan to continue taking pricing for the remaining of the year in Nigeria. Now, you ask me, excluding Nigeria and Russia, the FX neutral, I don't have that number, so maybe afterwards you can connect with IR to give you the number. So with that, let me pass to Michalis, so he will cover your other two questions.
Yes, sorry, Stefan. So on the Naira, first of all, looking at 2016, we have seen the Naira devaluing by nearly 40% since the central bank decided in June to float the currency freely. So it went from just under 200 Naira to the dollar to around 320 Naira to the dollar now. Still, the hard currency liquidity is challenging in the country. It is felt that the central bank's measures need some more time to achieve the desired impact in the market. So we have to wait and see how long it will take for liquidity to be restored and what will be the impact on the Naira as a result of that. So I would say that unless we really see where things will stabilize, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 months, certainly by the end of the year, it's very premature to call the Naira for next year.
But can you maybe, sorry, remind us at what level you are hedged for this year, just to understand if there would be a big headwind coming through next year?
We have not, we do not hedge the Naira. Up to very recently, it was not quite possible to hedge the Naira. Slowly, we might be getting some instruments that will help us to hedge. For this year, as we said also in the press release, we have assumed as a positioning a further 10% devaluation from the current spot rates for the year to go. So we are taking an extra hit as a result of the situation with the Naira, which is offset largely by better news from the ruble, and that's why we are keeping the FX guidance for the full year at the same levels as previously communicated, the 115 million. As I said, next year, it's very early to call the Naira. However, we have started with significant pricing actions, as we do in emerging markets when currencies devalue significantly. So you should look at this in combination rather than just potentially the impact of the effects only.
Okay, thank you.
Now, you had a third question about the input costs. If I understood well, it was a question as to what is the positive impact of input costs in 2016?
It was specific on established market, because I think if we look at your results today, the big beat in EBIT was all driven by established markets. So I was wondering if established markets had maybe benefited more than other regions from either input costs or cost savings.
No,
thank
to
you.
Be honest with you, proportionately, all three segments benefited from input costs. So in absolute terms, for example, emerging benefits are double that of established. But that's not the best way to look at it. Proportionately, this improvement is more or less similar across the three segments.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a question now from Tristan van Strien from Deutsche Bank in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just two questions. One, just you call out the negative channel mix impacts. Can you maybe just give a little color on that, which channels, and do you expect that trend to continue, or do you see that calming down? And the second bit is, I mean, you guys have cut one-third of your workforce since 2008, another 2,000 jobs, I think, year on year now. So is this a full clean, you cut down 2,000 full-time employees, or is this a movement from a fixed cost to a variable cost base? How should we think about that part of your OPEX efficiency? Thank you.
Hi, Tristan. So let me go to your first question. And your first question is channel mix. Mm. So here, I would focus on, in principle, two areas. The first is developing, and this is what we have seen for the, I would say, last couple of quarters. That's mainly driven by Poland, and that's something that we don't see will be any very different in the quarters to come. That's why we have been focusing behind our OBVPC. That's why we have been focusing behind our single serves and single serves multi-packs. The second area where we see the channel mix is an area that we have also been referring, and that's Russia.
Yeah.
Now, still fragmented trade in Russia is the majority. But the growth or the performance of organized trade is definitely a lot better than the performance of fragmented trade. So with this in mind, again, looking at Russia, we don't see that this trend will materially change. So still the organized trends are going to be better than, again, fragmented. Mm. Now, with this in mind, we again have, as we have been discussing, a lot of actions behind supporting the package mix and supporting also the marketing calendar behind organized trade. So this is what we are referring with regards to the channel mix. Now, with regards to your questions on your employees, this is a result of a restructuring.
Mm.
So that is explaining the 2,000 that you have been referring to.
Just a follow-up on the Russia channel point that you're making. How does your market share compare between the fragmented trade and the modern trade? Do you have a better market share in one or the other?
We do have better market share in fragmented, but the growth of our market share in organized trade is faster.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tristan.
We have a question now from Edward Mundy from Jefferies in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, everyone. Three questions, please. First is on Russia. Do you feel you're getting closer to a turn here? I think previously you'd indicated that 2017 might be an inflection point. Secondly, on CapEx, your overall CapEx is up 15%, but your actual payments for purchase of property, plant and equipment is up 30%. Could you perhaps give a bit more color here? And in particular, as to whether this is growth CapEx or CapEx to drive productivity gains. And then the third question is really, you know, coming back to margins, you know, obviously a few puts and takes for the second half. Are you able to give an estimation of what you think the margin improvement might be for 2016?
Hi, Ed. Let me take your first question with regards to Russia. So going back, we are staying the course on what we said in February, that the first half will continue like 2015, so high single digits overall market, and then gradually that will start decelerating, eventually resulting in a year which is going to be a better year than 2015. And that's exactly where we stand. And I'm saying that because we were pleased to see July. And, of course, July is one month a strong month in Q3, but we have seen a considerable moderation in the decline. So that's one part, and that is without juice, because juice in Q2 suffered a low teens decline, and we were extremely pleased with juice because juice had a marginal growth. Now, we are far too early. That's only July, but this is giving us extra confidence with regards to reiterating that this year is going to be a better year than last year. And then you referred to a turning point with regards to 17. Again, we are staying the course. We do believe that 17 is going to be a turning point, and we do see that, again, very early stages towards the second part of the year. And with that, let me turn to Michalis to cover your other questions.
Yes, so hi, Ed. On the CapEx, I would really disconnect the CapEx spend from the cash payments per se. What I would like to reiterate is that, first of all, we cannot look at first half trends compared to the guidance we have given, the 5.5% to 6.5% of revenue spend, because that works only on annual basis. We had last year a capex spend on a full year basis of just under the 5.5%. This year we expect that we will be a little bit over the 5.5, within the 5.5% to 6.5% range. And it's only a phasing question right now, that we had a little bit of acceleration in the first half. This will moderate in the second half compared to prior year. And we continue to spend around 75% of our CapEx on revenue-generating activities, namely coolers and production investments. Now, on your last question about the margins for half two compared to what happened in the first half, so as we explained in the call, in the first half, the margin expansion was mainly the result of operating leverage on a very lean cost base. So we had also an improvement from input costs, which helped a small increase in our gross profit margins. So with that, looking into the second half, we would expect that volume leverage will improve, supported by the extra selling day and the improvement in Russia. Of course, we have the cycling in quarter three of the hot summer last year, going against that. On revenue per case, currency neutral, we expect an acceleration, so that way we will enhance the revenue leverage equation. On input costs, we will turn from a tailwind to a headwind, as I explained earlier. FX impact will not be dissimilar to quarter one. As we said, we maintain our 115 million full-year FX hit guidance. And cost efficiencies will be more or less in the same levels as the first half, maybe with a small, potentially with a very small improvement. So overall, we expect that margins will grow also in the second half, and the growth that we saw in the first half can be a good guidance as to where we are going also in the second half.
Very clear. Thank you.
We have a question now from Kamal Dillon from JP Morgan in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Dimitris and Michalis. Just one question, please, on working capital. So you've done a lot of work on this in the last few years, and H1 again quite strong. I'm just wondering how much we can expect going forward into the second half, but also beyond. How much more is there to do here? Thank you.
There isn't an awful lot really from these levels to improve. I mean, certainly the rate of improvement is slowing down. Going forward, our focus is on the operational elements of working capital, receivables, first of all, and also inventories. And we saw in the first half significant improvements coming from inventories. And, of course, we continue to manage payables, but that will not be, going forward, the major area of improvement. So slowing down the rate of improvement, but continuing to optimize working capital.
Okay, so can we expect, like, going forward in the medium term for cash conversion to be slightly lower than what we've had in the last year or a few or so?
The expectation is that operating profitability growth will replace practically the benefits that we have been seeing from the working capital improvements. So as working capital is slowing down in terms of the improvement rate, operating profitability will be picking up. And as we have a CapEx spend guidance being a percentage of revenue, that should maintain overall the cash generation equation.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
We have a question now from Nick Oliver from UBS in London. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Just one question left from my side. In terms of outlook, you talk about in the established market the rate of volume decline to moderate considerably. Could you just run through the reasons for the optimism, and should we expect that to be broadly based across the key country markets? Thank you.
Yes, Nick. We do expect to considerably improve, moderate the decline. And I would like to give you a bit more color behind that. First of all, this will be based on a couple of initiatives that are covering most of the markets in established. And I will start with a very, very strong marketing calendar for Q3. The second, we have very well-defined targeted promotional initiatives in the organized trade. And we have also worked, we have been working to accelerate initiatives behind single serve and single serve multipacks. Now here, we are capitalizing on two key elements. The one is the Taste the Feeling campaign, and the second one is the Olympics. And that would allow us to improve our FX neutral revenue per case, and the main focus is organized trade. And the last part is the one extra selling day. And here, I would like to reiterate that this one extra selling day is in December versus the one that we lost, which is in January, and December is a lot stronger than January. So those are the four key pillars that drives our optimism with regards to considerably moderating the decline.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
We have a question now from Charles Pick from Numis in London. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks very much. I'm afraid I've got a number of questions. Just to clarify on the input costs, you originally had been talking about low single digits in terms of the increase this year, which is now marginal. Is that improvement because of the advantageous hedging actions you undertook in the first half of this year? Second question, is it possible to identify what the package mix improvement did in terms of the EBIT margin in the first half? Third one is the bond savings on the $600 million bond that you mentioned. Is it possible, please, to quantify the sort of benefit you might get in 2017 from that? And also, in the first half of last year, when you had the four extra selling days, you said that was worth about €25 million to the EBIT line. In theory, that equates to about $6.3 million less in the first half of this year from the one fewer selling days. But given what you've just said about January being a weak month, was it in reality less of a sort of hit factor than that? And finally, is it possible to split down, please, the $68 million FX hit in the first half between translational and transactional?
Thank you for your long list of cues. In very detail, we will try to do our best to cover. I will start with the second one that has to do with the pack mix. First of all, we are extremely happy because we have seen this pack mix being very consistent for the last couple of quarters. I think it's 6 quarters where we have been improving our pack mix. Now, this is not a science, so I cannot give you an exact contribution to the improvement of the FX neutral revenue per case. I would say, taking a bit of risk here, I would say that probably is 1/4 to 1/3 contribution to our revenue per case. And obviously, this has to do also with the country mix. So there is a different contribution if that comes from an established, and there is a different contribution if that comes from an emerging. So you need to take into consideration the 1/4 and the 1/3, and then you need to combine the contribution coming from the country mix. So that refers to the pack mix. I will now hand over to Michalis to take your rest 3 or 4 questions.
Okay. Hi, Charles. So starting with the input cost question, yes, there is a marginal improvement in the guidance. We had guided for low single-digit input cost per case currency neutral increase. Now we are talking about a marginal increase. More importantly, it's the direction. There is an improvement, and this is coming primarily from improvements in the world sugar cost overall. As you quite rightly said, we had some pre-buys and hedges which helped. So we see some improvement there, and also some improvement in the resin cost because of the development of the oil prices. We expect now a little bit better cost than previously on resin. So on balance, a marginal increase for the full year. On your question about the bond interest, indeed, in 2017, we expect the pure cost, interest cost, to go down by about 8 million. That's simply the difference between the all-in cost of the retiring bond, which was 4.25%, and the new bond, which is just under 3% on 600 million. But also we will see a benefit, one-off benefit in 2017, because in 2017 we will be cycling the new issue premium and the extra cost that we had in 2016 with as we raised the new bond. So just over 8 million will be the benefit in 2017. Now, on your question about the foreign exchange, of the 68 million that we have in the first half this year, around 75% of that is transactional. Out of the 68 million, around 75%, 50 million is the transactional. Is there anything that we have not covered?
It was just the impact of the one fewer selling days.
Okay. Really, you cannot see it like this because the dynamics of what one selling day is worth in EBIT terms is, first of all, different month by month, and is also different year over year. The dynamics last year with FX, with input costs and so on, are completely different to those this year. So I would not try to draw any conclusion as to the absolute amount of EBIT per day year over year.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for those answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press *1 now. We have a question from Stamatios Draziotis from Eurobank Equities in Athens. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just one, actually, with respect to your 2020 targets as communicated at the Investor Day in June. I was just wondering your guidance for the 11% EBIT margin by 2020. What does it assume in terms of raw material inflation going forward? Do you anticipate this to be more than offset by pricing and mix?
We did say that we have a high level estimate or a high level assumption about input cost inflation on a per case basis, not dissimilar to what we have seen over the previous years. In other words, something like low mid single digit increase on average per year.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay, we have no further questions coming through at the moment.
Well, thank you, operator. I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitate a good discussion. I will leave you with the following thoughts. We are focused on our strategy as laid out during the Investors' Day in London. We will continue to optimize our cost base and drive revenue to capture the benefits of the operating leverage in the business. We are already seeing evidence of delivery in our results. Looking forward, we are confident that our proven strategy, combined with our leading market share position and broad geographic exposure, position us well in the medium and long term. I want to thank you, and we look forward to speaking with you soon again.